The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org.
Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Not in the order of Aaron offering one sacrifice after another, but in the order of Melchizedek having brought the completed perfect offering by which he can save to the uttermost all who come to God through him.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Hebrews.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last time we heard the exhortation not to be babies, and so to grow in our faith that we might become teachers and expounders of the Word of God. And we also heard the exhortation not to be dumb and to toss to the winds all the riches that we've come to enjoy in Jesus Christ, thinking that it was all some mistake and that we'd be better to turn back to Judaism as though there were any hope that way. Rather, that sad way would be to put Christ to open shame and to crucify him anew, and that's a path you just don't even want to go on. Our baptism shuts that door. We saw that the stern warning was misheard if poor sinners assumed that it meant there was no repentance open to them after baptism. In fact, baptism opens the door to a life of ongoing repentance. But the speaker assured the hearers that though he spoke so sharply to them, he was persuaded of better things on their account, ours too, things that pertain to salvation, not to condemnation and apostasy. Picking up there in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6, verses 13 to 20. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word may not be bound but of free course and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready for the text? I sure am. Verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." This is, of course, a reference to the promise to Abraham after the offering of Isaac. He alludes to the swearing. He doesn't actually quote it, but if you look at it, though, in Genesis 22, verses 16 and following, you find, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only begotten, I will surely bless you and multiply your offspring as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The offering of Isaac is, beyond dispute, one of the major types of Christ in the Old Testament, and it was in conjunction with that offering that the oath from God was made, in which he swore by himself. Verse 15. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Given the reference to Genesis 22, I think this can only be heard to mean that Abraham waited patiently and received the promise that is Christ, his promised seed, through whom blessing would come to all the families of the earth, just as God swore to him by an oath. Remember how Jesus himself would say in John's gospel that Abraham rejoiced to see his day, and he saw it and was glad, the day when on Mount Calvary the Lamb was provided. Verse 16. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. Now, Jesus had taught, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no, and anything more than this comes from evil. Matthew 5, verses 34 and following. And yet, he himself allowed himself to be placed under oath in his testimony before the high priest. I adjure you by the living God. But the Lord's point is that anytime we take an oath, it's just because we are not 100% truthful. So we need to say, no, this time I mean it. This time I'm telling you the truth. And we appeal to God as our witness, as we do in court. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And to this day, that's usually accepted as final confirmation, even though we know it's possible for folks to perjure themselves. We just don't have anything stronger that we can call upon. Verse 17. So, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. Which means the one who cannot lie condescends to our weakness. Listen to how St. John Chrysostom, great 4th, 5th century patriarch of Antioch and Constantinople, would put this. He wrote, "Do you see how God regards not his own dignity, but more so how he may persuade people, even though God bears with having unworthy things said of himself, his wish is to impart full assurance." So God takes an oath to guarantee the truth of what he is saying to the heirs. That would be all the families of the earth to whom the promised seed would bring his blessing. And as for the unchangeable character of his purpose, remember how he had proclaimed through Malachi, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Malachi 3, verse 6. For our comfort, he backs up his immutable purpose with the additional guarantee of an oath. Verse 18. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. The sub-apostolic father, St. Clement of Rome, once wrote that nothing is impossible to God, save lying. As he would put so bluntly in his own Torah, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind, Numbers 23:19. Rather, as Jesus would say in his great high priestly prayer, your word is truth. The very nature of the sacraments in the Christian church is that they are oaths of God in which he binds himself to do for us what he has promised. That's why the Lutheran Augsburg Confession speaks of them as signs and testimonies of God's will. Hear that as his good will toward us for the purpose of awakening and strengthening our faith. That is, so that we have strong encouragement to hold fast, to grab onto and not let go, the hope he sets before us in Christ himself. So he promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's the promise he adds to the water. So he promises, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's a promise he adds to a faithful reception of his true body and blood. Verse 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have this truth that God doesn't lie and that he condescends to take oaths when he makes his promise to provide the promised lamb. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. What a beautiful expression. St. John Chrysostom has written, he shows that while we are still in the world and not yet departed from this life, we are already living amid God's promises. For through hope, we are already in heaven, as the anchor dropped from the vessel does not allow it to be carried about, even if 10,000 winds agitate it. But being dependent upon makes it steady, so also does hope. And what is our hope? But that Christ, our great high priest, did not just pass behind some earthly veil in the temple. No. In fact, by his very death, that veil was ripped in two, recall, from top to bottom, along with the earthquake. Rather, our high priest, bringing nothing less than the sacrifice of his own body and blood, entered into the inner place behind the curtain, as he'd explain later, not of this creation, and went before us as our great forerunner, our high priest, who stands forever in the order of Melchizedek. That is, not in the order of Aaron, offering one sacrifice after another, but in the order of Melchizedek, having brought the completed perfect offering by which he can save to the uttermost all who come to God through him, the sacrifice of himself as our anchor. We've had recourse to it before, but think of all of that in relation to Paul's words to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And he will go on to talk about how Christ was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, and then adds, but God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated, past tense, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's how strong your anchor is, people loved by God. Jesus is connected to you. He shares your very nature, and he has bound himself to you by oath and promise and everything that is his. He intends to deliver it to you. His sacrifice guarantees it. And how beautifully does the church sing of this in one of her hymns that we often sing during communion. Lord, enthroned in heavenly splendor, first begotten from the dead, you alone are strong defender. You lift up your people's head, Jesus, true and living bread. Though the lowliest form now veil you, here as of old in Bethlehem, here as there your angels hail you, root and flower of Jesse's stem, we in worship join with them. Paschal Lamb, your offering finished once for all when you were slain, in its fullness undiminished, shall forevermore remain, cleansing souls from every stain. Isn't that just beautiful? That's our anchor. It's a powerful one, people loved by God. Grab hold, and then no vicissitude of this world will ever rip you from his sure oath and promise. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.